Let's take our Bibles and open to this next question that Jesus asked. Last night we had, who's boss, right? Who's the Lord of your life? Do you do what he tells you to do? Why do you call him Lord and fail to do the things that he tells you to do? He is the Lord. And the day before, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business or in my Father's house? Surprised you didn't come looking for me there first. Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? So where do you belong, we asked. Who's in charge? And today we have, can you take it? Can you take it? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Mark 10:38. So let's read from Mark 10. I know it's hard to read in unison here at camp. At home we have Bibles in the pews, and so we're able to read together because we're all on the same page. And here we have all these different translations and versions of Scripture. So if you'll just follow along while I can choose somebody to read. Who would like to be that person? Brother John Schreck, we're celebrating your 60th anniversary of graduation, so you probably have been reading for a longer time than most of us. And would you please read Mark 10:35-40?
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared. That's 40.
Thank you. So that was well read, and we're happy to have this story before us this morning. It's a striking story. I often have read it from the Gospel of Matthew. I just took it from Mark because that was how the book had it. This question here, are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they answered, we are able. And they probably were indicating by that answer that they really didn't understand what would be in store for them. Because Jesus said, it is going to happen. They were, it seems that all the disciples were expecting the Messiah's work to be some kind of a more outward deliverance. They wanted him to rescue them and restore their people to a place of power and prominence and deliver them from any outward oppression. Foreign powers had gained the ascendancy. They were in the Roman Empire at this time, and the Messiah would come and help them to throw off those shackles and once again be an entirely free people. That would be what they were expecting. Kind of a political thing rather than a spiritual deliverance. And James and John and the other disciples must have sensed that there was some crisis developing, something coming. And if there was a kingdom coming and Jesus was going to bring it in, well, we want to be in a place of in places of prominence in that kingdom. There're going to be 12 thrones for you guys, and you're going to sit there and you're going to judge the tribes of Israel. Well, we want the best thrones. I wonder if they didn't. I don't think that this question was all bad, because there was something about it that was good. They wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to be close to Him. But they were wrong, Jesus said. You don't understand. And sometimes I wonder, I know I read this someplace, not in the Tenney book, but sometimes I wonder about James and John. There were only two seats, right, to the right and the left. And they were in a trio of the three closest in disciples, Peter, James, and John. I wonder, in Matthew, the mother comes along. I wonder if they didn't have a little discussion about getting ahead of Peter. You know, he's so outspoken. Maybe we got to crowd him out of this. He's going to get the best place if we don't ask for it. I don't know. That's just, it doesn't say that. But you just wonder. And because the other disciples, not just Peter, it says in the verse after Brother John stopped that they were annoyed with James and John for asking this. I suppose part of their annoyance was that they didn't ask first. They didn't think of it as quickly and get there ahead of James and John. But, of course, Jesus didn't give out those places at this time. He had a different answer for them. By the way, he had another question in here. What do you want? What do you want? We want you to do for us whatever we ask. Well, Jesus was too smart to just say, okay. He said, well, what is it that you want? What is it that you're after? And as soon as they asked, you don't know what you're asking. And then this question, can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? I can still remember one time in my life when this story came so alive to me. It was in the year 2000, and it was at the end of our January weeks of prayer. So that's a while ago now, 15 years. And in Matthew 20, I read it there and read it over, and my heart was stirred, not just by this question, but by Jesus' subsequent teaching, which flows from it, that the way up is the way down, that in His kingdom, in order to have a place of prominence, a place of favor with the King, and in order to be great in His kingdom, there's just one requirement. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. And here in Mark 10, you have the key verse. All the scholars who study Mark say this is the key verse. 45. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. This is the theme verse. You see Jesus going about, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, teaching and preaching. God was with Him, and then giving Himself. The book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is truly a book of action. One of the favorite words is immediately, in one form or another, straightway or anon, immediately. He always has Jesus doing things, but He was doing things not for His own advancement, but for the blessing of people that were in need, for the blessing of sinners, for the blessing of the sick who needed His help. Oh, that the blind might see. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. One time my father said to us in meeting, it would be a good exercise to go through the Gospels, and you could go beyond the Gospels, actually, and just notice the places where Jesus said why he came. And so I tried to do that. And you have some outside the Gospels, like in John's letter, where it says he came to destroy the works of the devil. But I purposely made a list why Jesus came. I wrote in his own words, and you'll notice that he came to bring salvation, to bring blessing, to bring division among peoples, but to save, to give himself. It was because he was devoted to the purpose, the divine purpose of eternal salvation, and because he loved his Father, and because he loved his own, that's why he came. I come, lo, I come, he said. It is written of me in the Scriptures. I come to do your will, and I delight to do your will, O my God. And here he tried to teach his disciples, James and John. But with this question first, are you ready? Now, what is that cup? Of course, we think of the cup in Gethsemane that he had to drink, the cup of God's wrath, the cup of the sins of the world. All those sins, he who knew no sin, he knew no sin. He had to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thomas, so who founded Connecticut? Thomas Hooker, I believe, was his name. When I was studying, I was supposed to be studying, when I was taking courses in American history way, way, way back, I had a teacher who was interested in the religious history, as my sister is, of the American people. And I remember that Thomas Hooker, who was the founder of Connecticut, was also a preacher, and he has a sermon on justification. The book is, this is one sermon, so don't complain when it goes to noon this morning. The book is maybe half the size, okay? That's the one sermon. And it's really based on that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as he comes to his climax, he says, there's nothing greater. Of course, it's much more eloquent than this, but I'm paraphrasing it. There's nothing greater in all the world than this truth, that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, that's why Jesus came. Came to do the Father's will. He loved the Father, and he loved his own, and there was nothing that was too great for him to do. No, there was no step down that was too big for him. He went all the way to Calvary. We sing all the way to Calvary. He went for me. That's such a wonderful thing that you can take that personally. He died to set me free from sin, from self. Although I had so many, many sins, yet he took them all away when he pardoned me. All the way to Calvary he went for me. And in Gethsemane, though he recoiled from this, he drank the cup, and he had to drink it down. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, precious Jesus. That's why we'll praise him. In the book of Revelation, where they're praising him around the throne, it's worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That seems to be the theme of the eternal praise of God's people. And so he came and he drank the cup and he was baptized. I'm sure it speaks of the baptism of death. Be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And they said, we can. We are able. Yes, we're able. And Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But it wasn't time for that yet. They were not ready for that yet. They didn't understand yet.
Question.
Yeah.
What are they talking about here? Why using the word baptized? What's an old, what's a different word, Greek word or Hebrew word?
I have to defer to someone who knows Greek. Brother Gus, did you hear that question? he wants to give you a private session. I believe in this case, though, he is speaking about the... And in other places, you can find that where baptism is used, it refers to death. And, of course, even in our baptism, we're dying, we're identifying with Christ's death. I was... Years and years ago in Kirchheim, that's a church in Germany, and Brother Kniesel was pastor, I heard him baptizing people. And I heard the words that he used, and he used the words from Romans, and where it says, "Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" And so in his baptism, I guess you call it formula, many people have called it that, he would baptize the saint who had come to the candidate for baptism and say, upon the confession of your faith, in the, of course, this was in German, and I can't say that. Upon the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you into his death in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or something of that nature. And after I heard that, I thought, wow, that's exactly right. That's what's happening here. And I started saying that too. So if you haven't been baptized and you come to Ridgewood to get baptized, that's what I'm going to say in your ear. When I baptize you into Christ's death. Anyway, we can look into that further if I remember, Brother Anthony. And of course, after your private session with Gus, if you're not fully satisfied, then go to Brother John Schreck. But he would die, and he would have to drink that cup. From the same song that I quoted before, if I can remember it correctly, if there's a Tabernacle 3 over there, you could correct me. But it says this, on his sinless, or on his thorn-crowned head, and on his sinless soul, our sins and all their grief were laid that he might make us whole. We're sinners, and we probably cannot fathom what that must have been like for the sinless Son of God to be crushed with that weight of sin and to take the wrath of his heavenly Father against sin, to take it all. He had never known that dereliction or forsakenness of his Father in throughout eternity. He had never known that. And so it was something that is just hard for us to understand. But these disciples were asked this question, are you able? Can you drink of this cup? Can you be baptized with this baptism? And they said, we can. And he said, you will be. And I think that on this side of the cross and the resurrection, with the grace that flows to us from Calvary and Jesus being our Savior and representative at the right hand of God, where he appears in the presence of God for us, it is right for us also to answer this question in this way, humbly, of course. Yes, we can. We are able. By your grace, Lord, we will follow you. We will go. We will go the way of the cross. We will take up our cross and follow you all the way. But James and John were not ready for that yet, and they couldn't understand this yet. And Jesus went into this teaching then, which is, I feel, all part of the same thing. Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. What an example Jesus set for his disciples and for us. And this is not the mindset of the natural man. But the Apostle Paul told the Philippian Christians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he came down from heaven's glories because he loved the Father and was devoted to the divine purpose and loved his people, loved those for whom he would pour out his life, that they might live with him forever. In our devotional book, we have this verse by Oswald Smith, Into the Cross of Jesus. Deeper and deeper I go, following through the garden, this book I'm reading from, following through the garden, facing the dreaded foe, drinking the cup of sorrow, sobbing with broken heart, O Savior, help, dear Savior, help, grace for my weakness impart. In Matthew 20, the story starts in the 20th verse. And he thought, 2020, can we see it? Can we see it clearly? Can we see the importance? Do we have a correct spiritual vision? If we don't, it can be corrected. I guess we can get a divine correction. Heavenly glasses can help us to see things in God's light, from Christ's perspective, and our hearts can be changed. Lord, bring us low before you. Teach us this way. And of course, as we said before, or prayed before, it has so much to do with our relations with others too, our fellow disciples. Do you get indignant when somebody gets ahead of you? In earthly things or in spiritual things, I think we all, maybe we don't, wouldn't use the word indignation, but maybe we all know something about those feelings that we're really not supposed to have. They're inconsistent with the love of Jesus. But I don't know about you. I'm just assuming, because I know about me, I'm just assuming that we have, at times at least, somewhere in our experience, we've had feelings and attitudes that don't coincide with Matthew 20:20-28, this wonderful story that contains this question that we had today. Can you take it? Can you? Are you able? Can you? Well, there's another sense where we could say, no, we are not able, but as Moody said, by the grace of God, I will be that man. And by the grace of God, I will be that disciple who follows Jesus all the way. Take me as I am. make me what I ought to be. In spirit and soul and body, regardless of the cost, for Jesus' sake. Amen. A prayer that Dr. Dowie taught his congregation to pray. And they did. It's a good one. Take me as I am. Lord, you know. God, he knows what I am. He knows those things that need to be changed. And he is able. He is able. Take me as I am and make me what I ought to be. Sometimes I've heard it said, what you want me to be. I think I read it this way in Leaves of Healing, Dowie's paper. Take me as I am and make me what I ought to be. In spirit and soul and body, no matter what it costs, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let's sing that song by Oswald Smith that verse was taken from. It's in our hymn books, 324. 324.
Into the love. Jesus, my Lord and my King.
Oh, let's sing those last two lines too.
And through eternal ages, gratefully
wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Praise the Savior. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Don't call on anyone without giving them a little signal. I even did that for Brother Richie Fogle last night. I didn't get his eye. I really like Brother Jim Weldon. Would you please pray with us? Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for each one of us.
Thank you.
As we stay focused on you throughout this day, Lord. Do what you want to do with each one of us, as we have heard, Lord. Come into our hearts even more and guide and lead and direct us in the path each one of us should go. And fill us with the love of you for each other, Lord. And may we walk carefully before you in all we say and do. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.